Welcome back. 4:48, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And on this Wednesday afternoon, I'm joined once again by Charlie Hurt, Washington Times nuclear option columnist. Hello, Charlie. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing just fine. I guess you're all ready for the sequester.
Oh, yeah. And I love how suddenly the sequester was, I guess it was the boogeyman or Casper the ghost, the friendly ghost came up with it. I'm not really sure who came up with it now, since now President Obama insists that that it's going to destroy America. And but I think Bob Woodward told us that it was the White House that came up with it. So
yeah,
I'm very confused about all of it.
And a little while ago, Senator Max Baucus of Montana admitted to the local television station out in Billings that the president bears responsibility for the sequester, and that's coming from a Democrat.
Yeah, but to hear, and I guess it's sort of the way the game is played in this town. Whenever you get into sort of the blame game, if you're good at that, and say Bill Clinton was very good at that, and President Obama is very good at that, you know, that's 90% of the argument. All you got to do is be really good at blaming the other guy, and if you're good at that, then you will be a tremendous success in this town.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what President Obama is doing now. And of course, the poor, you know, Republicans are you know, sort of struggling to sort of get the argument out there, you know, get their point out there that this did in fact originate at the White House, but mm-hmm. I think that they could probably do a better job of that than they're doing.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was watching Howard Fineman on MSNBC, and he was talking about how things have changed in the media and the coverage of the president, and how this administration has really got a system down pat where the president calls a news conference, parades a bunch of first responders out there behind him, he takes to the stage, he delivers the message, doesn't take any questions from the audience, walks away, everybody covers it as if it's the gospel truth, and he sold his goods.
Yeah, it's fascinating because, you know, you would think that in this media climate where, you know, everyone has access to the information, has access to sort of original content and things like that, that reporters would become less like stenographers. But it's quite the opposite, and I say this having covered the White House for years, and what I hated about covering the White House was that you were very much expected to just be a stenographer and
mm-hmm.
sit there and just write stuff down. You know, the president would say something, and if you were so lucky as to actually be allowed to ask questions, he would never call on the people that would ask tough questions.
Right.
They have, or I shouldn't say that, rarely, because sometimes some of the network folks do ask good tough questions, but by and large, they will you know, he will skip them and go straight to, you know, the Huffington Post or some sort of person like that, and get these softball questions, and these people and everybody, they just write the stuff down like as you say, like it's gospel, and they should be doing so much more than that, and they're
yeah.
doing a tremendous disservice to freedom and to this country.
Yeah. All right, I want to take you to your column in today's Washington Times, Anti-Gun Zealots Going Cuckoo from Coast to Coast. And I had to laugh because my first question to you would have to be, you don't like the idea of the Gestapo showing up at your home looking for guns? Come on, Charlie.
You know, it's worked out so well in the past, people, you know? Because, you know, anytime you just sort of just trust the government, they'll take care of you, you know, everything will be all right. But just interesting, I'm reading this the latest Winston Churchill, William Manchester of his trilogy on Winston Churchill, and it was so interesting when Britain was gearing up for the Germans to invade. One of the big problems they had was that so few British people actually had guns in their homes, and it became this monumental problem, and they had to figure out how to get rifles and guns and distribute them to people in their homes so that they could protect from a German invasion. But people don't ever think about this in those terms. They just think about it, well, of course the police should have guns, and of course, you know, the average citizen shouldn't. The average citizen might do something dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, you know, at the end of the day, these are actually tough questions that that smart people have been sort of wrestling with for years.
Yeah. All right, so this is happening out in Washington State, right? This is where they want to perhaps...
You think of a place like Seattle, you think of all these great liberals who believe in sort of, you know, being suspicious of government or being suspicious of authority. Apparently not. They think it's great. Just have deputized local police to walk into your home, to people's homes, and for a home inspection, an annual inspection of their guns, and if you refuse to comply, you could go to jail for a year.
I can't wait to see that happen. You know, I mean, seriously, I can't wait to see the first time somebody doesn't comply, a person getting hauled out of their house for something that's afforded them, you know, by way of our Constitution. You know, and you're going to be hauled away to jail.
Yeah, and to their credit, there were one or two good liberals out there in the legislature who, when they realized this was part of the bill, you know, kind of rang the alarm, or I don't know if they rang the alarm. I think it was some conservatives who did. But once they realized that this was part of the bill, they understandably were horrified. And so it is unclear whether or not this will actually make it, but you know, we'll make it into law. But certainly, this is this year's main vehicle for gun control in Washington State.
Yeah. Now, there are other parts of the country where, in some cases, they want to tax gun owners. I saw where one state wants you to register your gun at a cost of like $200 or something.
Yeah, it's a pure money grab thing, as usual. You know, the government lives and dies by its taxes, and so why not go after gun owners? I mean, you know, the gun owners are the most evil parts of society anyway, right?
You would think if you pay attention to the left, that's for sure. The New York Post says cops are going to scoop the nuts.
Yeah, because, you know, the New York Post is always so sensitive. They always couch things in such PC language. But that's right. Up there, the problem that they've been having is with these people shoving people off into oncoming trains on the subway platform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they're only I wonder why they don't. I feel that maybe they should do background checks on everybody that's going to ride the subway. Require training classes.
No.
If you want to get a license.
No, blame the train. That's what you have to do. You blame the subway train. You know, it's not the person who pushed the other individual in front of it.
We should just ban subways.
I'm telling you, man, it's a wacky world, and it's not getting any better. Every day, you know, I see crazy stuff. And, you know, today as an example, I started the show with John Kerry. I don't know if you caught his first public address at UVA. You'd think that the guy would talk about China, would talk about Iran, Egypt and the connection there, North Korea making all kinds of threats and firing off missiles. No, you know what the guy talked about today?
Climate change. Yeah.
Climate change.
And he said, I saw somewhere where he said that that Congress was a greater threat to our foreign policy than China or the Middle East. Wow. I mean, I'm all in favor of beating the daylights out of Congress. But my goodness, really?
I mean, this is our new Secretary of State. Yeah, I mentioned earlier, is there a way to back him through the process, you know, back to the point at which he wasn't, you know, Secretary of State? Because I'd sure like to see it.
But the good thing about it is that four years will eventually be over. And President Obama will eventually leave office, and when he does, John Kerry will absolutely go with him. And if we are at all lucky, we will never, ever hear his voice ever again for all of eternity.
We can only hope. All right, Charlie, thank you, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Andy.
See ya. Charlie Hurt writes the nuclear option column for the Washington Times. Today's is entitled Anti-Gun Zealots Going Cuckoo from Coast to Coast. 4:58, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.